Hello, loves! Welcome to the Art of Body Language podcast, where we empower and uplift the dance community while helping them understand their injuries. I am your host, Sherelle Williams, trainer and student physical therapist that helps dancers avoid injury and improve their wellness so they can be the strong and fearless performers they were destined to be. Before I begin this episode, I would like to invite you to reach out to me at theartofbodylanguage@gmail.com with any questions about injuries that you may have, or find me on Instagram at smile_love_lift. Please make sure that you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. I want your feedback so I can continue to put out content that helps artists. I am here to serve you. Enjoy the rest of the show. All right. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Art of Body Language podcast. What's good? What's good? I can't. I gotta be serious, y'all. Today, I have a very special artist on with me. I've known this one since, like, high school, y'all. We came up together. So, the big reveal, it is Amos Oliver III. What's up? Say peace, stand up. Hey. Oh, gosh. So, yeah, he is going to be joining us and telling us a little bit about his dance journey. Thank you so much, Amos, for making the time to talk to me.
Thank you.
Alrighty, let's get in there. So tell the folks about your dance journey. How did you get to where you are today?
Well, I went to John Hopkins Middle School in St. Pete, Florida. And I was actually, I guess what they call it, a drama major. It wasn't like theater, it was just drama. And we had to take an elective, and I took dance just because. And then the dance teacher pulled me aside one day and was like, you have like this natural gift. I think you should maybe try dance. And like back in those times, I was like, boys don't dance. Like I just knew that I was gonna get made fun of, and like having to wear the tights and the ballet shoes just like wasn't my jam. And I was like, I think I'm gonna pass on that. And then I guess I came back maybe like another class or something, and she like pulled me aside again. She was like, I really think you should talk to your parents about it. So I came home and talked to my mom about it, and she was like, it's obviously up to you. And I was like, I just don't want to be made fun of and stuff. And then I was like, fine, I'll try it. The teacher's name was Mrs. Mervette, and I tried it. And I mean, of course I was made fun of for a little bit, but like I figured out like that's something that I wanted to do. So like, it wasn't really being made fun of wasn't really like a big deal. So that's how it started. Like I was like, oh, like this is actually kind of fun. And like, I actually do enjoy doing this.
Oh my God, that story just reminds me of, like, I know we're in the age of social media now, but the importance of that hashtag Black Boys Dance too.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Sure do. I sure do.
Because how many boys, you know, whatever the race is, can relate to that story? You know what I mean? Right. Just boys dance too. Absolutely love it. So let's keep it moving. So we finished middle school.
Mm-hmm. And then I actually wasn't going to do dance after eighth grade. I was going to Gibbs, of course, but I wanted to go back to theater. So I auditioned for theater at Gibbs.
What's Gibbs?
Pinellas County Center for the Arts at Gibbs High School.
Yes. So for those who don't know, it's a performing arts high school in St. Pete, Florida. You know, has dance, visual arts, oh God, tech, all of the above. Didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, so that people know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I auditioned for a theater at the Performing Arts High School at Gibbs, and I accepted it. So my first day of school, I actually wasn't a dance major, but Miss Suzanne Pomerantzup, who was our teacher, was like, absolutely not, you are going to be a dance major, because I auditioned for dance as well, but I just decided to do theater because like that, I just felt like that was more of who I was. But she was like, absolutely not, you're doing dance. So like, we sat down with our guidance counselor, Dr. Clark, and then they changed my schedule to dance and stuff, and then That's how I really, really began. And that's how I knew it was really important, because people kept seeing things in me that I didn't see in myself.
Yes. You're 28. I'm 28. You're 29. You know how much more journey you have?
I'm 29.
Right. I'm like, you're 29. You're going to stop at high school. If you don't keep going.
Okay. So after I graduated from PCCA Gifts High School, I went to the Boston Conservatory, where I earned my BFA in contemporary dance. And then I went to Dance with the Lexington Ballet after that for a season. But I felt in my heart that I just wasn't done training, because I started a little later than most people start. So then I went to the American Musical and Dramatic Academy in Los Angeles for 2 years. And I think that was a good decision for me, because I felt that I wasn't done training, and the training I got at the American Musical and Dramatic Academy was not just like classic dance. It was like hip hop and jazz. And I got to take like acting for camera and dance for camera. And I got to like figure out how to make my own dance reel. I got acting. It was just like so incredible. And it was everything that I've always wanted to do in one. So I think that was like a good decision for me. And it was, I think, a mature decision that I made, but it was a good one.
Where are you now?
I am doing Hairspray on Symphony of the Seas, the big ship in the world, at Royal Caribbean.
I got you. You are going to really make me work, Amos Oliver.
I am.
Third with these it's answers.
What do you want me? You got to tell me what you want me to say.
No, it's not the point. The point is for you to share your journey and others are able to learn from it. So let's like, we gotta backtrack a little bit. I need like cliff notes. So let's talk about going from, so leaving Boston Conservatory, right? Yeah. Having that like college experience, and then it's like, all right, now it's time to start auditioning for companies. How is that transition?
The transition from the Boston Conservatory to professional life was a bit difficult for me, because I like wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do. And being at the Boston Conservatory, I was surrounded by so many like talented people who had been dancing so much longer than me. And I think in my head, I didn't think that I was able to do what they were able to do. So I kind of was like following them, thinking that that's what I wanted to do. But I auditioned for Lexington Ballet, and actually I got a contract, and I started that company as a principal dancer. So I was doing all principal roles, and it was like a big awakening for me, because I was like, you actually can do these things that you think you can't do. And it was like, when I got there was only two other African-American men in the company. Actually, there was only two African-American men in general in the company, and I started out as a principal. So that was really cool for me, and it was like such a great experience for me to go right after college. Like, I graduated in May and I started my season in August. So that was like really incredible.
Awesome. Now let's go from doing concert dance to now being like, I want to continue my training and I'm going to AMDA. Like, what sparked that, you know, because you didn't need that. So what was the thought process there, and how was your experience at AMDA?
Well, during my Lexington Ballet days, I was looking at everybody else, and I was like, yes, I do have the training, but I don't think I'm done training. I just felt like I could offer the world much more of me, and I felt like in order to do that, I needed to go back to school and really hone in on exactly what it is that I have left. And I felt like I wasn't done being great yet. So I applied for the American Musical and Dramatic Academy in LA, and I got accepted. And at first I was like, maybe I shouldn't go back to school, because like, you're already a professional. But in my heart, I just knew that there was something else I needed to tweak. And when I got there, it wasn't anything like I expected. I expected to do exactly what I did at the Boston Conservatory, which was absolutely incredible, but it was different. I had so many other opportunities to do other styles, voice lessons and hip hop class and jazz and tap and acting, and it was just like, that's exactly what I needed. That's the training that I needed to completely be the professional that I wanted to be.
Yeah, and it was a great move on your part. Like, we get down the line and you did Hairspray. Like, this man's being so modest. I don't even know. I can't say his whole resume, but I'm about to kick him through the computer screen because there's, like, so many things in his professional journey that he's done, and he ain't saying none of it. And I'm like,
well, all of that came after AMDA. All of that came after AMDA. So if we're going in chronological order, I got to say, like, being at AMDA made me realize exactly what I wanted to do, and then that's what sparked the rest of my career.
That was the purpose of the journey. I wanted to hear all of this.
Okay,
so let's keep it moving. So this sparked, you finished at AMDA, and now what's going on? Take us there.
I finished at AMDA, and then I got an agent, which is Go-To Talent in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I got an email saying, oh, Hairspray Live is auditioning. I was like, oh, no way. Like, that's a dream show. Like, there's no way they're looking for me to audition. And I got an email, and then I was like, of course I'll go. Of course. Like, it was an appointment. It was like, you're coming in this day on this time. I was like, absolutely incredible. And then a couple days later, it was canceled, and my dreams were absolutely crushed. And I was like, how can something that I've been dreaming of doing just get snatched away from me so easy? And I was like, very upset for a little bit. But then I was like, okay, like, it's God. He's telling you that it's not the right timing. But then a couple of days later, I got an email saying, oh, it's back on. Like, you have an appointment for this time. And I was like, yes, it was meant to be. And I had been working on, like, everything I needed to do because I was like, that the first cancellation, like, fired a spark. So I was like, I'm ready. And then I went to the audition room nervous out of my entire mind. Like, the most nervous I've ever been ever in an audition. We danced, they cut a lot of people. We danced again, they cut a lot of people. We came back the next day, we danced again. It was like thousands of people auditioned, and I was making it the next day and the next day, the next day. And then we sang, and then they emailed my agent, was like, hey, can you have him hold these dates? And me being new to that kind of industry, I was like, what do holding the dates mean? And she's like, you didn't book the job, but they're interested in you booking the job. And I was like, okay, cool. So a couple days went by after that email, and then I was getting out of the shower, and I had a missed call from my agent. I was like, uh-oh, like, either this is good or really bad. So I called her back, and she was being all sweet, like, how are you? And I was like, girl, if you don't get to the point. And she was like, so I have a gig for you. And I was like, what is it? And she's like, well, and she was like, you know how, like, you want her to say what you want her to say, but she's taking too long. Like, I was like, come on, girl, like, spit it out. And she said, well, you booked Hairspray Live. And, like, I, in that moment, don't remember anything else she said. But they booked Hairspray Live. I ran around the apartment literally crying. Like, I was so overwhelmed by the fact that that was my first gig out of, like, after AMDA, and I was like, and it was on national TV. Like, I lost my entire mind. Like, and I didn't know what to do. And the first person I called after she told me not to tell anyone was my mom.
Don't tell anyone, but everyone has that. You gotta tell that one person, even though you can't.
Like, there's one person, like, yeah, exactly. She's like, you know, like, we're not allowed to announce again. And I was like, okay, cool, mom.
Right.
But it was so cool. It was, like, so cool to hear. And she was so excited for me because she was like, you're perfect for this. She was like, they loved your headshot. And she was like, they loved you in the audition. So the fact that, like, it actually, like, I actually got in, they actually believed that it was right for me was so cool.
Yes. Okay. So awesome opportunity with Hairspray. What happened after Hairspray?
So after Hairspray Live, I was like, so what do I do now? Like, my first gig, but, you know, gigs only last so long. And, you know, as artists, we're like, so what's the next one? And I was struggling because I wasn't really getting any auditions that I felt I was right for. Like, I was going to them, of course, but I was like, this doesn't seem like something that's right for me. And then one of my teachers from the Boston Conservatory, her name is Michelle Chasse. She teaches for the musical theater department, but I took her classes all the time. She emailed me and was like, hey, are you available these dates? And I was like, it depends on what it is. And she was like, are you available? And I was like, yes, of course. And she was like, well, they're looking for a replacement for a dancer on the Holland America RWS cruise line. And I was like, oh, a cruise line. Like, that's something that's been on my radar, but, like, not something that, like, I've been pursuing. And I was like, absolutely. Like, I will absolutely do it. And the fact that she messaged me, of all people, out of all the people, all the students that she's had, the fact that she messaged me made me feel like, okay, that's something you should do. Because, like, if you're being referred by someone, you should probably take that opportunity so that you, like, make connections and, you know. So I told her I would do it. And then that was right after I finished Hairspray in December. And I started rehearsals for Holland America in the end of January, I believe. So I didn't have much time in between gigs, which was kind of cute because, you know, that don't always happen.
You guys, Amos is my whole heart. And he is someone that I've known for over a decade, and he's extremely hard on himself.
Yeah.
He has, you know, he's so great, and he's such an amazing talent. And I just want to say that I am so proud of you coming up from St. Pete, right?
Yeah.
Starting what we may feel as being, you know, late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Making it through all adversity, mm-hmm. and then getting mm-hmm. you concert dance, then hitting you with a little live TV.
Musical theater,
right? But it was televised. Anyways, musical theater. And then coming back, and then we're giving you a nice cruise ship step. You know what I mean? It's just the way you've been open to experiencing dance in so many mm-hmm. different ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And jumping at it and realizing and saying to myself, I'm not done learning yet. And I think when you realize that you never stop learning and you never stop growing.
Yeah.
That's how you win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Wasn't doing that because I thought that's how I was going to win. I just felt like there was something missing, and I was absolutely correct.
Yeah. Hats off to you, my love.
Thank you, babe.
So with all that said, let's talk about self-care. What do you do? What do you do to take care of yourself, you know, while you're on a gig or dancing on the cruise ship? I definitely want to know about, like, self-care while working on a cruise ship.
Okay. Most gigs, depending on what it is, have people that can help you, like, better yourself and make sure that you're not injured and stuff. But on a cruise ship, I mean, you have a doctor, of course, you have medical, but you are responsible for making sure that before you do a rehearsal that you warm up fully, because there's a cast warm-up, of course, but sometimes some people's warm-ups aren't good enough for your body and you need to do extra. So you have to make sure that you listen to your body when you wake up that day, because sometimes that warm-up might work and sometimes you might need a little extra. And I feel like I didn't realize that my first couple weeks on my ship contract, because I was used to having a ballet class in the morning or, you know, a contemporary class in the morning. And when I got on the ship, they're like, okay, we're going to do like aerobics. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I don't get a plie, you know, like I don't get a cute tendu. So I had to make sure that after we did like an aerobic warm up that I like took myself backstage and I did some plies, tendus, and, you know, some degages to make sure that my body was ready for what I was doing. And I feel like on most contracts, that's what I have to do, just because my body is a bit different than most people's in the industry that we work in. So I have to take a bit more care of it. And also rolling out, like I learned on that contract, you better roll these muscles out, because you do a show and you go to sleep and then they're tight.
Yes. Now I'm going to counter that for just a second.
Go ahead.
Actually love the fact that you got that aerobic. Well, you said aerobic.
I mean, like, we were doing kind of like a Zumba-y situation, which is totally fine. Like,
hold on, never mind. That's why I said, wait, what is it? Okay, not necessarily giving me, like, Zumba. I thought, like, maybe you were giving me, like, push-ups, squats.
Oh, I mean, it was all of that. It was all of that as well.
Because for that, I feel like that is something that is very important when it comes to warming up. And a lot of dancers don't do that. They go straight to ballet class. So although, yes, you felt like you needed to do ballet class, I think it was very awesome that they had you do that. And it helps, maybe you didn't realize it, but it helps protect you.
I do. I
from
did.
Injuries.
Yes, I did realize that it was helping, but that's like, I appreciate it. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I appreciated it and it helped me and it made me stronger and it helped me stay fit, but it didn't help me warm up the other things that I needed to do for the specific shows that we were doing, if you know what I mean.
No, I got you. I definitely got you. I got you. I just forgot where I'm at.
Because I was the technical track on my first contract. So I was doing like ballet solos and ballet duets, and like push-ups and stuff are great, but I need a bar. You know what I mean? I need to get that leg up. I need to make sure my turnout's right. I need to make sure I'm on my leg. So that's why I had to do the extra.
I would argue to say that those things, they are helping you. It's not something that we're taught. Because I remember growing up and it being like, oh, don't run.
Right, yeah,
let me not cut nobody out. Start saying people's names.
Uh-oh.
But we are. We do. We think that, oh my God, I need to be turned out. And not to nerd out, those squats and and maybe working your inner thighs, that allows you to hold your turnout. And that keeps you in place. And that, you know, helps you with your alignment and making sure that when you land, mm-hmm. ball hill, you're in place, yada, yada, yada. We won't go down there. Well, we will. That's the whole purpose of the podcast. Never mind.
Right.
But I think that that's something that you should keep, actually.
Yeah. Is, no, I agree.
Especially because you don't have a physical therapist on mm-hmm. board with you. We talked about diversifying your foundation. I think that whoever was in charge, you know, they knew what they were doing a little bit. Definitely, you know, like I said, I don't know them. But I will say this. I don't know what exactly you did. But the idea of doing an active warm-up is extremely important when it comes to preventing injuries and being on a boat. Because, that water starts moving. I mean, I've never danced on a boat before, but I'm sure. Jumping and leaping and doing things, you know, on land when it's still is really different than being on a boat.
100%.
Yeah. So let's talk about, and of course, love what you said about foam rolling. 100%. Say it again, rewind it, listen to him. He said it.
Absolutely. Your muscles also work differently on a moving vessel. So mm-hmm. you need to make sure that you take care of them, because I didn't realize that at first. And I was like, why am I always so sore? Why do my legs look like this? Why do they feel like this? And I was like, you know what? It's because I'm not relaxing them. I'm just doing the shows and then I'm going to do other things and I'm not giving them a chance to rest, or I'm not like separating them. So I just felt like, for me, that's when I learned that foam rolling is really helpful.
Awesome point too. Cause I can, you know, also imagine that being on a ship, your body has to stabilize like 10 times more than it would when you're on, you know, a stable ground. So awesome, awesome point and insight for those that maybe are considering dancing on a cruise.
Yeah.
What would you say has been the biggest obstacle to you becoming a better dancer?
To becoming a better dancer? I think not trusting in what I know I have and trying to be or do something that I'm not. And I feel like in this industry, there's so many different types of people, and I just feel like I'm not the right one. I felt like I wasn't the right one, or like I wasn't what everyone wanted. And it's okay, because not everyone will want everybody, but I felt like my biggest obstacle was me. Like, I was in my own way. I was trying to be something that I wasn't, or I was trying to do something that I felt like worked better for me. But I learned that, like, being me is exactly what I need to do, and being me is how I'm getting my gigs.
I will cry. I am so excited for you, Amos. Yes, all of those things. Yes, I'm so happy that you're there and you got there. I'm really gonna cry.
I mean, it took a long time.
I know, because you are enough and you are amazing, and so many people have seen it, and you've been like saying it in your head that you weren't, but you got here, and I'm so freaking excited for you. So excited. Oh my God. Oh, yes. And for anybody else that may have that mindset, you are enough. You don't need to be what the industry says you are, or what you think, you know, concert dance says you have to be. You know what I mean? You show up and you be you, damn it. Period.
If that person doesn't like you, somebody else will. Always.
Boop. There we go. Love it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you fearful about when it comes to improving your dance ability?
Oh gosh, that's such a good question. I'll try to name one. Even though what we just talked about, knowing that I'm me and they chose me for being me, I'm always afraid that I'm not living up to what they thought I was. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I feel like they're like, oh, he's great. And then I'm always afraid that when I get there, they're going to be like, oh, well, he was great then, but like, maybe not what we, you know, maybe not what we thought, or maybe it's just not right. There's always that demon in the back of my head that's like, nope, there's more. Nope, you're still not it. And that's what I'm most fearful of. I'm not, like, I'm trusting my ability, and I'm trusting my technique, and I'm trusting all of my training. It's just me that I need to still, there's still that little, I don't know.
Is there anything that you're doing currently to kind of like work on your mindset? Like when you're like, oh my God, I'm having this thought, get it out of my head. Is there anything that you're doing actively to stop, you know, maybe change that around?
This sounds very shallow, but when I feel like it's not enough, I look at my resume and I look at my training. And I'm like, you have to trust that what you did is clearly enough.
That ain't shallow.
Like, it sounds super shallow. Because nobody like sits and looks at their resume. But when I feel like I'm like, oh, nah, like today wasn't good, they're going to come talk to me about it. I have to like look and trust that I know what I'm doing and I did it well. So I have to look back and be like, you did this and they loved it. So they hired you. They hired you for you, and you just have to know that.
That's not shallow. Pull up your resume if you visual and look at it, and then look at yourself in the mirror and be like, you know what? I'm that bitch, and I did XYZ and 1, 2, 3, and I am amazing, and they put me here. So I don't need to second guess and think that I'm not good enough. I would do that. I say keep that. I say y'all start doing that. Start reflecting. Reflect. I'm talking to Calvin about this, but just talking about the fact that how you said dancers are always thinking about what's the next gig, what's the next gig, what's the next gig, and it's so important that you start self-reflecting. And I think with that's what you're doing. You're reflecting on the things that you've done that have gotten you here. Praise yourself. Self-love. That's damn right. Keep doing that. I absolutely love it. And stop saying that it's, you know, shallow. It's not shallow.
Yeah.
Because if you don't uplift you, honey, then who is?
Absolutely correct. Say it again.
If you don't uplift you, who will?
You got to be the first one, because if you don't, then you ain't got no backup. You ain't got no support.
Okay.
But if they see that you're uplifting yourself, they'll uplift you too. Trust me. You so right. Wow.
That's where we at.
It's so true.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about, well, we kind of talked about this a little bit. I was going to say, you know, overcoming self-doubt. You talked about self-doubt within yourself, but what about doubt when it has come to maybe peers or family? How have you dealt with that?
What do you mean?
Like, how did you overcome, you know, maybe people not believing in you or saying that you weren't good enough, or maybe you haven't had that experience?
No, I mean, as an African American male dancer, I feel that way every time I'm at a gig, that someone doesn't feel like I deserve to be there, or Or most of the time, my fear is that people think that I'm there because they needed a minority in the room. Like that's my fear, and I overcome that by being like, I'm here. I do deserve to be here, and you'll see once we start rehearsing. Like that's how I get over it. I just go into their room that first day, and I show them why I should be here. And then after that, I'm like, if you still feel that way, then that's definitely on you because you just saw me do what I do. You know what I mean?
Got you. I feel you. Let's talk about learning experiences. What was your biggest learning experience and how did it help you grow?
My biggest learning experience. Oh, man. Oh, gosh. My biggest learning experience is I'm still having a learning experience. I'm learning that I'm never going to be perfect. And I learn every day how to be the person that I need to be for myself. And I feel like every gig I have, I take an experience and I learn from that experience. And I feel like there's not a learning experience that I've had that is like, how'd you grow for that? I'm growing from every experience that I have. So I can't answer that question properly for you.
No, I feel like that answer is fine. You know what I mean? And I also think that, you know, saying that, you know, like you said, I realize I'm never going to be perfect. No one has time to be perfect anyways, man.
Right.
Perfect is boring.
It is.
You know, be you. So what was your greatest aha moment? And how did it help you grow?
Ooh, watching myself on TV. Yeah. Was my aha moment. I can't explain to you how emotional I was seeing myself amongst so many incredible people and knowing that I was chosen for that personally. Like, that was my big, like, you know what? You do have what it takes. And nobody can take you away from that. And now I have proof of it. Like, that's beyond me. Like, that's, like, when I'm feeling down and out, I just whip on Hairspray Live. I don't even have to watch it, but hearing it in the background and then, like, knowing that I'm in a scene and I see myself, I'm like, you know what? Like, hello, you're here.
Hello? Yeah, you're here. I love it.
Hello? You got it? Yeah. That honestly, like, seeing it for the first time, I was like, no way. Nah. That's me. And I could go on about that. Yes, just seeing myself on TV for the first time and being like, wow, you did it.
Amazing. So we're going to wrap it up. I've got my last and favorite question. What advice would present day Amos give Amos when you first started your professional dance career?
I would say, if people think you have something that you don't think you have, trust them, because you never know where it can take you. Because I didn't want to dance because I was worried about what other people were thinking of me. And I feel like if I just was like, listen to them, trust them, I could have started much earlier and I could have accomplished much more. Not that I haven't accomplished anything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if I would have taken it seriously a little bit sooner, then things would have, I feel like, excelled quicker.
Awesome. Oh, also, I lied. Not the last question. But this is more so for me and my growth. So I know you suffered an injury, but we've kind of already touched on it with it in other episodes. But for me, you know, as I work towards graduating with my doctorate in physical therapy,
yes.
What yes. advice can you give me in being able to better take care of the dance community?
Ooh, as a physical therapist.
As a physical therapist, yeah.
I feel, for me, really listen to what the dancer's saying hurts and really listen to them when they're explaining how it happened or when it happened or why it happened. Because I feel like for me, some physical therapists are like, oh, it might just be this. And I'm like, but you're not listening to me. I really need you to, like, because, like, I feel like dancers know their bodies pretty well. And I feel like when we have to go to physical therapy, which none of us like to do most of the time, I don't, because it makes me feel weak. I feel like they don't take me seriously in a sense. So I feel like to help dancers, I feel like really pay attention. And as, I mean, as a former dancer, you know, so I feel like that's easy for you, I think. I think easier for you. And I feel like one, listen and really try to explain that you were recently, or not, like, you know, like you're a dancer, so you know things, and that they should be able to trust you.
I got you. So really gaining that trust, building relationships, and yes, listening to mm-hmm. how the injury happened.
And I think explaining the information from a dancer so that they understand that you actually know.
I got you. Oh, now we gotta keep going. So why do you feel like going to physical therapy makes you weak?
I personally just don't like being injured, because it makes me feel my body is not ready for what I'm doing, and it makes me feel like, it makes me overthink. And that's just me personally. I feel like when I'm injured, I'm like, it's because I wasn't doing something right. I wasn't listening to all the things that I know. So it just makes me feel weak, really. I mean, I don't like being injured. It's upsetting to me, and it takes me out of, you know, what I've worked so hard to do.
Right. Got you. Thank you for being open about that. You give me so much good info. Yeah, but no, seriously, I can't learn this in a textbook. I say that all the time. They don't teach me this in the NPT school. I'm not getting this at NYU. And I'm not trying to treat the same way that the rest of the world is treating. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I always say that. I don't learn this in class. There's no research on PubMed that says these things to me. Mm-hmm. So this is almost like my internship outside of, like, PT school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just being able to collect this data and hear mm-hmm. what you guys are saying, mm-hmm. right? Utilize what I can as a trainer, but then mm-hmm. when I'm doctor, man, I can apply all of it. And, you know, you guys feel like, oh, great, she's there for me. I can mm-hmm. trust her. She mm-hmm. hears what I'm saying. She's taking the time to actually look at, you know, the dance moves I'm doing.
Right. So
I can, you know, get back to where I was and, you know, and maintain that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly that. And I think it's important to know that, because we want to know that you actually know what we're doing. We don't want you to be like, oh, like, it's this, and we go the next day and do that step, and we're like, nope, actually, you know what I mean? We want you to actually know, you know?
No, I got you. Alrighty. I know we did this a little backwards. I usually like to end with, you know, the advice question, but it's okay. Ah, so, Amos, tell the folks where they can find you on the socials, on the internets.
My Instagram is AmosOliver90. Yeah, you can find me there. I don't really use Twitter. My Facebook is AmosOliver3rd. You can find me there if you'd like.
Alrighty. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of The Art of Body Language. And we will see you next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Art of Body Language podcast. I truly appreciate you taking the time to listen to my show. If you enjoyed this episode and you believe it would benefit an artist that you know, please be sure to share it with them. As always, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at smile_love_lift. If you'd like to connect further, you can also email me at theartofbodylanguage@gmail.com. Thank you and make sure to tune in to our next episode. Have a beautiful day.